Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you both in will and in deed. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I think the Lord tests the mind and searches the heart to give all according to their ways, according to the fruits of their doings. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A weight reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. For if this life only have we hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came down with the 12 apostles and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The crowd was trying to touch him because power came out of him and healed all of them. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we have a prophecy in Luke that things will be turned upside down. And if you ever doubted that those who used to weep will laugh, just look at today's Super Bowl in which the Cincinnati Bengals, this is the last sports reference in a sermon you will ever get from me. So live it up, folks. Talk about a reversal of things, right? So here we are in the season of Epiphany. We celebrate the Epiphany light, the star that is that shines down. Remember, stars are things that they burn and burn and burn and burn, and in that burning they give light and warmth. So their dying gives life and light and possibility of life to the earth. That's sort of what a star does. It's what our star does. And so here in the Epiphany, we wonder about that metaphor. What does it mean to see Christ as a star, as a burning light, as a burning out, giving love to us that gets extinguished and then resurrected? What does that mean? How do we embrace that? How do we come to know who Jesus is? And this season, this third year that we're in, the lectionary cycle C, that's on the quiz, by the way, it gives us Luke. And Luke is all about turning stuff upside down. That's what he does. He turns up. So the birth narrative in Luke about Jesus, Jesus comes into the world in this extremely humble way. So the king of the universe is born in a feeding trough in a manger, right? When the Magnificat that Mary proclaims, the lowly will be lifted up. Those who were filled now will be hungry later. That's in Luke. The story about Lazarus and the rich man, right? You remember this story where Lazarus is eating only what is like spilling from the table there, and his sores are licked by the dogs, and yet in the afterlife, in the hereafter, it is Lazarus who is in the embrace of the divine, and Abraham's embrace in the bosom of Abraham, and down in the pit is Dives. That's the Latin name given to the rich man there. Dives is a Latin word that means rich man. They're very creative as they come along with these things. So Luke is all about turning everything upside down. And here we get this story of the Beatitudes in Luke. On one hand, the Beatitudes, that is the blessings, mixed with an equal amount of woes or warnings. And those who weep now, those who are poor now, those who are hungry now, those who are reviled now, those folks will inherit, will be lifted up, will be redeemed. Folks who are rich, laughing, powerful, those folks will be brought down. And Jesus sort of makes this proclamation, unlike Matthew, who does this story up on a mountain. Jesus comes down the mountain with his giant group of disciples, out of which he has chosen 12 to be the apostles. Apostle is a funny word that means something like sent out with a message. These are the people who are going to be sent out with this message. And certainly this whole group of people who are being healed in this radical, loving way is to receive this message. But Jesus specifically looks at the people who plan to follow him to the end, those 12. Those are the people that he sort of singles out for this message of this turning upside down that's going to happen. And so in the Epiphany light, when we get a vision of what it might mean to be people who are followers of Jesus, this is what Jesus tells us, that my inbreaking, that God's inbreaking into the world, it's an act of humble, radical, self-sacrificial love. And love like that flips everything upside down. So today's story is about power, right? And I think a lot about power. I listened to this podcast this week about the filibuster. Did you know that the word the filibuster is like, that's a pirate term? That's what they used to call pirates, people who are filibustering on ships and stuff. That's, I mean, so you're like, you were, when this first act as a senator would be to like pirate the procedure. He would take it over and filibuster it. That was kind of the connotation. I thought that was endlessly fascinating. That's not even extra. I'm not charging you extra for that. That's just a little piece of the sermon that I'm giving you right now. And so what occurred to me listening to the history of the filibuster and sort of where it's come to now and its evolution, it said something interesting about power, especially power in a dual system, and that both sides have tampered with the filibuster, and both sides have regretted that later, right? So there's something that gets told to us or taught to us about power here, and that when we take power, it usually doesn't go our way. It does not go our way. And being followers of Jesus is a surrendering of power, which is not something we do naturally, especially in this culture, in this climate now. So as the Epiphany light burns bright on the Christ, we are invited to give up power, to wonder about the ways in which the things that we have built, the power structures we have built in our own lives, that is, of wealth, of economic security, of joy, and of political power, that being a follower of Jesus somehow tears those things down. And the parts of us that are in need of redemption and healing, right, those things are getting lifted up. Do we believe something like that? Could we tell the world something like that? Could we act in the world as if that is true? What stands between these two pieces of blessings and woes, and the power that flows through those two things, what stands in between them, remember, Jesus comes down off the mountain onto a flat place, unlike Matthew, who's up on the mountain. In that flat place, Jesus encounters the throng with healing. And that's what Jesus does in Luke. It's radical love. And that love is a give. Power comes out from Jesus. And it's Jesus' humility, humble act of going out and being with people, of giving him, and ultimately of dying on the cross. This is where the power comes from with Jesus. It is a subversive message. And Luke is bringing that home for us. I'm reminded of a story about Good Shepherd Episcopal Church on Lookout Mountain. A dear friend of mine and mentor, John Talbert, who's probably preached in this church. Is that right? Is that y'all? He speaks with this thick, like, Macon accent. You would know him if you heard him. That's how you know John. But John's a phenomenal priest. He's now moved to Maryland and is retired and lives with his near his grandchildren. But he was in Haiti when that 2010 earthquake happened. He was there on the ground when that happened. Spent a lifetime building up a children's nutritional program in Haiti called Corre Témoin, and was the longtime rector of Good Shepherd Episcopal Church up there. And he talks about being rector there when the 2007, 2008 economic downturn happened, and how that church was just slapped, I mean, hit hard, because a lot of their budget and capacity and power came from the fact that people would tithe from their investments into this church. And when that all happened, when that crash happened, I mean, they took a major hit, and they weren't sure what they were going to do. Things seemed to be turning upside down for them. And so this is what John got together with his staff and his associate priest, Perry Scruggs, another man who's preached here in this pulpit. And the two of them got to thinking about, okay, how can we sort of shift this on its head? How can we change sort of the way that people are thinking about money in this time when there's so much anxiety about money? And so what they did was they took envelopes, and the envelopes had the church return address on there, and they put $100 bills in these envelopes, and they taped them under the pews. Everybody look under your pews. I'm just kidding. They taped them under the pews, and so when people came to church, he told this sermon and gave this sermon, and in the middle of it, he invited people to reach under their pews to get this envelope, to look in it, to find the $100 bill there, and invited them to spend that on somebody else in a way that was a gift to somebody else. And also invited them to share the stories of what happened back with the church. And so it was counterintuitive. It was a moment where they were hurting for money, and so they decided to give, I mean, I don't know how much $100 a person at Good Shepherd in 2007 was, but I'm guessing it was not an insignificant investment in an act of love, right? And it paid off for that church. I mean, I think it began to shift the narrative there. And when John told me that story, I remember thinking, this is a teaching moment for me about how ministry and about following Jesus is counterintuitive, right? It's an adaptive thing. It's a thing in which we seem like we have the wisdom and knowledge to do exactly the right thing, but Christ is leading us into a more self-sacrificial, deeper way of radically loving each other kind of way. And the Beatitudes is just that. The Beatitudes in Luke is just that. It's nobody expects to hear something like this, especially in a first century mindset. In a first century mindset, when you are poor, are diseased, are demon-possessed, which is these are the people that Jesus are healing, that is because of something you have or your family has done to invite that evil into your life, into your world. And I think we've evolved a little bit around that, and we don't think about it in those terms anymore. Though, I wouldn't be so sure. I mean, I think there are stigmas that still, into the 21st century, sort of surround folks who are poor, folks who are hungry, folks who are infirmed, folks who have mental illness, folks who are dealing with health problems. I think that stigma still follows us. And Jesus, to stand up in front of these people and not only say, I'm here to heal you, but the blessings of the kingdom of God are the falling on you. And the folks who are prospering, the people who have the structures of wealth and power and economic well-being and seem unaffected by these things, God's tearing that stuff down. And if we do not pause here in the Epiphany light to wonder about our own lives and about the structures of power that we think we've built up in our own lives to keep us safe from all that stuff out there, then we would be selling ourselves short in terms of the gospel. So John's wife, John Talbert's wife, Mary, worked as a nurse, a surgical nurse at, what's the hospital on Macaulay Avenue? Park Ridge. She was at Park Ridge. And she pulls in one day, to that parking lot, and she parks her car, and she gets a on her window, on the window, the passenger window. And she rolls down the window, and it's this homeless man. And he looks in, and he says, what do you have for me? And so she's kind of caught off guard. And she looks down. Her purse is on the seat next to her. And sticking at the top of the purse is that envelope with $100. And so she just picks up that envelope and gives it to this guy. Just gives it to him. And he looks at it, and he opens it up, and his eyes get kind of wide, and he walks off. And that's it. And she goes and works her shift. And she remembers thinking, I think I might have just wasted that opportunity to do something with that $100. About 3 months later, that envelope comes back to the church. And because it had the little return address on there. And it had a little stamp on it and everything. And they open it up, and in the envelope is $80 in a note. And the note says, I only needed $20, help somebody else. And so that homeless man taught that giant church how to be Jesus, right? Because this is what Jesus is talking about here is true. That there's something about when we live that close to the edge. And I bet if I looked at Andy right now, he would tell me that he's experienced things like this, where folks who live in these places, they know how to radically love in ways that are just shocking and awe-inspiring for us, right? That what's the real power that Jesus brings into the world is not our wealth, our military might, or our guns, or our strength, our smarts, our know-how, our political power, our institutions. It's our willingness to love each other self-sacrificially. That's where the power comes from. That's what Jesus does in Luke. He comes among folks, and it is the coming among folks. It is the being in community, folks, the being close to people, the giving up of his life and time for the sake of being close to people. That is where Jesus' power comes from, and it is so threatening that they crucify him for it. And that, even that act, even that thing that happened to Jesus, even that self-sacrifice becomes a source of great power. That's what it means to view Jesus in the light of the Epiphany star. Amen.
The Father and the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And the kingdom will have that end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of all life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray to God who is made manifest in Jesus Christ.
As the prophet Isaiah rang out, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. Empower your church, O God, to ring out the good news of the light of your Son Jesus, which pierces even the deepest darkness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As a star rose high into the nighttime sky to draw the nations to the Christ child, send your blessing, O God, on this nation and every nation, and draw the whole world to your peace and truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As John the Baptist guided throngs of people to the edge of the wilderness and baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, we pray that you would guide our country and our leaders to the way of justice and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As Jesus climbed the mountaintop and proclaimed blessings on the people of the world, we pray for the sick and the distressed and the poor and the lame. We especially pray for
Jim,
J.R. and Courtney, Pat, Gail, Patricia, Greg, Cindy, Joyce, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Cindy,
Becky,
Alexander, Terry, Kenton, Dale, Sarah, Peter, Marianne, Kelly,
John and James,
Mark, Jody and Joe,
Sharon,
family of Leanne Hampton,
Paul,
Margaret,
Jacqueline,
John and Jane,
Zach,
Steve,
Kyle,
Richard,
Bonnie,
Valerie,
Amy,
Lori,
Cheryl,
Galilee family,
and Christine.
As Jesus called his disciples to leave their nets and boats and follow him, we pray for those who we love and who have answered your call to follow Jesus to your heavenly kingdom. Give them your peace, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. We especially pray for Tiller's dog of that died in a house fire yesterday, the dog of Elizabeth Burns, who's youth minister at St. Timothy's. Lord Jesus, light of the world, hear our prayers. Make us reflections of your light, that the places of darkness in our world would be pierced by your light, and that all nations would be drawn to you and be overwhelmed with your joy. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
God's peace. God's peace. Peace, peace, peace. Peace, peace, peace. Peace, peace, peace. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here. I want to give you the heads up that Lent, the season of Lent, everybody's favorite, where we veil the crosses and focus on our wretchedness, is coming up soon. So we will, of course, move into Lent with a big celebration and bang on Tuesday, March the 1st. At 6:30, we will have a pancake dinner and Mardi Gras celebration. So that is on the horizon. Also, be on the lookout for the Bells Festival, which is that last weekend in March. And it's an opportunity. It's going to be held at Christ United Methodist Church, which that's on Brainerd Road.
No, it's on East Brainerd.
East Brainerd Road. That's right. Our bell choir is going to be part of that. And so it's a great opportunity. It's a beautiful thing. So be on the lookout for more details about that. Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn, to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, and your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body of, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You grab this tea. These are the gifts of God. For you, the people of God, come taste and see that God is good. The body of Christ. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now to the world in peace
and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day in Epiphany and remain with you always. If I but trust in God and guide thee, and hope in him through all my ways, he'll give thee strength whatever beside thee, and bear thee through the evil day. You trust Alleluia, alleluia. Go forth into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.